भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 25-26 व्हाट प्रह्लाद लर्नड इन द वूम एबीस त्री वर्णाय भार्यस्तायर भूरि मेनायि क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपाम आत्मनो भूयेत् गन्धायर वायुम इवन वयात एविस त्री मरणायर पायस्तायर बुरी बेराय क्रियोद मवाय स्वरूपम आत्मनो भूयेत् गन्धायर वायुम इवन वयात एविस त्री मरणायर प्रयास्तायर भूरि बेदाय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपमात्मनो भूयेत् गन्धायर वायुमिवान्वयात् एविस त्री मरणाय प्रयास्तायर भूरि बेदाय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपमात्मनो भूयेत् गन्धायर वायुम इवान्वयात् एविस त्रिवर्णाय पायस्तायर भूरि बेदाय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपम आत्मनो भूयेत् गन्धाय वायुमिवान्वयात् एविस त्रिवर्णपायस्तायर भूरि बेदाय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपम आत्मनो भूयेत् गन्धाय वायुमिवान्वयात् एवि त्रिवर्णाय प्रयस्तायर राय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपमात्मनो भूयेत् गुरुम वन्वयात् मातजीस एवि श्रीवर्णाय पायस्तायर भूरि वेदाय क्रियोन्मवाय स्वरूपमात्मनो भूयेत् वन्दाय वायुमिवान्वयात् एवि बाय दीस श्रीवर्णाय कंपोज्ड ऑफ द थ्री मोड्स ऑफ नेचर Prayastai, completely rejected, due to not touching the living force. Buddhi, of intelligence. Vedai, the differentiations. Kriya Udmavai, produced from different activities. Swarupam, the constitutional position. Atmana of the self. Bhujyad, one should understand. Gandai, by the aromas. Vayum, the air. Iva, exactly like. Anvayat, from close connection. Translation. As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As already explained, there are three states to our existence, namely wakefulness, dreaming, and deep sleep. In all three states, we have different experiences. Thus, the soul is the observer of these three states. Actually, the activities of the body are not the activities of the soul. The soul is different from the body, just as aromas are distinct from the material vehicle in which they are carried. The soul is unattached to material activities. This analysis can be considered by a person who is fully under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. This is confirmed by the Vedic conjunction, Yasmin Vigyate Sarvam Evam Vigyatam Bhavati. If one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can automatically understand everything else. Because of not taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, even great scholars, scientists, philosophers, and religionists are always bewildered. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:2:32. Even though one may artificially think himself liberated from material contamination, if he has not taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, his intelligence is polluted. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:42, Indriyani pranyahur indirevyo paramana manasastu parabuddhir yabude paratastasa. Above the senses in the mind, above the mind is the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul. Ultimately, when one's intelligence becomes clear through devotional service, one is situated in Buddhi Yoga. This also is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Jainamam Upayantite. When devotional service develops and one's intelligence becomes clear, one can use his intelligence to return home, back to Godhead. Avis tri varnayar payastayar buddhir vedai kriyod babai sarupam atmano buddhyat gandayar vayum imanvayat. As one can understand the presence of the air by the aromas it carries, so under the guidance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can understand the living soul by these three divisions of intelligence. These three divisions, however, are not the soul. They are constituted of the three modes and are born of activities. Om Ajnanati Minandasya Ajnanjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the condition of the living entity is given, that we're all bewildered, thinking that we're liberated. Everyone's thinking that we're liberated. We were at a program in Utah last weekend, and they announced that this is not the end of the world, is the beginning of the world, because now we have 250,000 awakened souls in the United States. Was it the United States or the world? The world. 250,000 awakened souls. Because they have understood oneness. Even their mantra is one, two, one, two, one, two. Oneness. They were doing meditation and chanting one, two, one, two. I asked them, is that Sanskrit? They said, no. I said, the lady was chanting on the tape, Vantu, Vantu, Vantu. I said, what is it? He said, 1-2, 1-2. It was her Indian accent. She was saying, Vantu, 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 and doing deep meditation. So they think themselves liberated. But they have no regard for the lotus feet. Aruya krichena param padam tata panandi adona drita yuzmad angraya. They have no regard for the lotus feet, for the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, even though they consider themselves liberated and in a transcendental platform, actually, they're fallen. They have no intelligence. Their intelligence is polluted, it says. Yena ravindaksha vimuktamanina tvayastabhavad avasuda buddhaya. Polluted intelligence. They engaged in activities of frivolity that were so boring that devotees were ready to hang themselves by their kunti malas. It was actually very difficult. Of course, at the end, the bhakti dancer danced, and the chanters chanted, and everybody got up and danced and chanted, as previous, and that was their liberation. But otherwise, their activities were simply frivolous. They were meditating this vantu vantu, and you had to close your eyes, and at a certain point on the screen, there were three people all dressed in white. In India, it was a, what do you call? Yeah, cast on the web. So these people were there. And when you opened your eyes, you had to stare into their eyes. This was the science of the soul. And one guy was shaking like convulsions. I was a little worried for his health. I would have called 911, but it was India, so it wouldn't have helped. He was convulsing, and we had to stare. We were supposed to. The guests were all staring at these three, all dressed in white. Banabhata Prabhu turned to me and said something very insightful. He said, if you wait a little longer, the nurse is going to come out and put them all back in their rooms. And that's what it appeared like. That here was an insane asylum of so-called spirituality. These people are convulsing about who knows what. Their emotional difficulties, their troubles in the past. And pretty soon the nurse will come and put them in their straitjackets and lock them back up in their rooms, basically. We're not criticizing. We're just analyzing what is real spirituality and what is aruya krichena parampadam tata parantiyado netratya yuzmadangraya. Having no regard. It wasn't devotional service. It wasn't glorifying Krishna until we chanted. It wasn't engaging in devotional service. And therefore people, they're very upset in their lives. People we hear sometimes, my life is such a mess, I've been so tortured, my parents are controlling me, and they controlled me when I was a child. And criticized me terribly. We forget what it was like when we were in our bear body and the big bear was giving difficulty to the cub, us as a cub, or our cucaracha bodies. in our previous life as Cucaracha when we were being harassed by our Cucaracha parents, the big flying date Cucarachas. And our life as a rat when the father was trying to eat us. And we think, oh, I have such difficulty in my life. Prahlad Maharaj didn't think like that. He was put through unbearable difficulty by his father. He was put in a vat of oil, burning oil. He was trounced on by an elephant at the hands of his father. He was stabbed by the, what do they call them? Tridents of the heebie-jeebies. What do they call the heebie-jeebies. And he was fed poison. But Rake Krishna Marike, Mari Krishna Rake Ke, Krishna saved him and protected him through all the harassment of his father. And he wasn't thinking, hey, my life is so terrible, my father was so mean, look at me, I had such a rough upbringing. Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old, and he prayed, Yadi dasyasi me kaman varam tuam vardarshava. Kamanam ridya samroham bhavatas tu vrnevaram. That famous sloka in the 7th chapter here, Prahlad, 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj prayed, O my Lord, O best of the givers of benedictions, if you'd all want to bestow a benediction upon me, then I pray to you that within the core of my heart there be no more material desires. Yadidas yasi me kaman varam tuam vardarshava kamanam ridyasam roham bhavatas tu vrnevaram. This was the prayer of Prahlad. He didn't pray, oh, help me from my father torturing me. Father was killing him, trying to kill him. Couldn't. He was protected by Krishna. Wasn't just controlling him or telling him what to do or criticizing him. Father was trying to destroy him, kill him, because he was devotee of Krishna. But Prahlad Maharaj never thought, like today, a lot of people are thinking, they go and they do the psychological evaluation. What were your parents like? What was your childhood? Did you have a rough upbringing? Were your parents too controlling? And people are thinking, oh, my life is so ruined because my parents, my brother held me over a banister by my ankles, and that's why I'm the wreck I am today. My parents told me one time, the reason you're so weird is because we dropped you when you were like 5 days old, and by accident we dropped you. And that's why you are the way you are. So, and I could be thinking, why did they drop me? My life is ruined now because I was dropped as an infant. But Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, same thing, 5 years old. He was praying. I was looking for bits of glass, but I found the greatest jewel. What is that? Svamin katartosmi baram nayache. Five-year-old boy, this was his prayer. 5 years old, not adult even. But he was 5 years old. So this life sometimes is full of difficulties. If we look at the life of the greatest devotees, just like the Pandavas, they were greatest devotees, cousins of Krishna. Vasudeva was their uncle, father of Krishna. And they were put through so much difficulty in their younger days. Bhima was fed poison by this Duryodhana as a youth. And then Duryodhana had him tossed in the lake of snakes. He didn't realize that by Krishna's arrangement, the bites of the snakes was the healing herb for the poison. And somehow or other, by Krishna's grace, Bhima survived the ill will, the sons of Dhritarashtra, led by Duryodhana, sent Kunti and the Pandava boys to Varnavata, to the house of Lak. They had built them Parochana, the history goes of the Vedas, Mahabharata. Parochana had built them a special house that had great flammable qualities, so that one day, when the time was right, under the guidance of Duryodhana, Parochana would light the house of Lak, and the Pandavas and their mother Kunti would be burned to death. But one of the uncles, what was his name? The Vidura. Vidura? Vidura found out about the ill plot. And he let the Pandavas know. And the Pandavas made some other plan that Parochana himself and a beggar mother and her sons were in the building when it was set fire. And they escaped through a tunnel that was built by the Pandavas and their help. And they escaped the calamity. What to speak of the Battle of Kurukshetra? The sons of Dhritarashtra, Duryodhana, and brothers, 100 brothers, had taken everything illegally by the game of dice, by a cheating game of dice with their uncle, had taken away the kingdom of the Pandavas. The great Pandavas, even their father Pandu, he had a tough life. He committed one error. He was a king. He was on a hunting expedition. And he thought he was shooting deer for sport, as Kshatriyas do. But there was one Brahmin and his wife who had changed themselves into deer because they were engaged in some sensual activities. And when they were engaged together and Pandu shot them, killing the male, thinking it was a deer, but it was a Brahmin, he was cursed that he would go to his wife for sensuality, that he would immediately die. And actually that took place. He became attracted to Madri, his the co-wife of Kunti, father, mother of Nakula and Sahadev. And at the time of his attraction to her and chasing her, because of the curse, he passed away. And Madri, with the permission of the elders, went into the fire of the, what do you call? The fire of the funeral pyre of Pandu. So the Pandavas had a tough situation. They didn't live in or with all kinds of bountiful life. Their life was extremely difficult. And difficulties came again and again. Kunti prayed, let the difficulties come again and again, because when we are in that kind of situation, my Lord, we can always remember you. She had given birth to her first son. She was given the power of mantra to call any demigod that she wanted. So when she was very youthful, she called the sun god. And he appeared and said that now you must have child with me. She was thinking it was a game. She was youthful, too young to have, barely young enough to have a child. But she had used the mantra, and the mantra was for calling the demigod to give her a child. And he gave her her first child, who was Karna, the great giver, the son of the sun god, and Kunti, who was also known as Radheya, who she had, because she was so youthful, and because it was prohibited, she gave the son up, put him in a little basket, and in great sadness gave up her firstborn. Later in life, when the Pandavas met Radheya, who is actually a Pandava, the eldest of the Pandavas, son of Kunti, their brother, she couldn't reveal, and therefore, by fate, and her great sadness in life, he became a very close associate and friend of Duryodhana, who hated with a passion the Pandavas. So, in the life of the greatest devotees, in the life of the associates of Krishna, there's great sadness, sorrow, difficulty. But they never took it in a depressed way. They never took the drugs for depression. What do you call the different tranquilizers, or medicines to forget about their sorrow. They actually depended on Krishna. That difficulties may happen, that the tough times may come. Father may be very hurtful. Mother may be very hurtful. Associates may be very hurtful. People may harass us. We may have physical impediments and difficulties. But, like the Pandavas, Prabhupada even said one time, we are soldiers of Krishna, servants of Arjuna. This is our birthright as Vaishnavas. We're soldiers of Krishna. No matter what, you may be wounded soldier. We may be mentally deficient soldier. We may be challenged in many ways and had many difficulties in our life and more difficulties to come. Our philosophy doesn't say there's no difficulties in Krishna consciousness. Our philosophy is depend on Krishna in all circumstances. Our philosophy is not that if you surrender to Krishna, your life will become bountiful and you'll get all beautiful things. Our philosophy is if you surrender to Krishna, first thing, Krishna will take away everything and leave you with nothing. You know you're getting Krishna's mercy when your car breaks down, when your spouse leaves you, when your money is put into frozen escrow by the courts. You know you're receiving the mercy of Krishna. That's actual mercy. Krishna's installation of mercy is he takes everything from the aspiring disciple, devotee. And then when we are pure, as stated here in the purport, when our consciousness actually becomes purified and we know how to use things in Krishna's service properly and we use it in Krishna's service, then Krishna will give you a facility, some funds to use in Krishna's service, some buildings to use in Krishna's service. But if we use it for our own sense gratification, Krishna is very kind to his devotees. He'll take it away again. That is the way of devotional service. That Krishna only gives us what we can use in his service. If we utilize it for our own sense gratification, then it's no longer prasadam. Then it's no longer sanctified. So the devotee prays. People are praying, what do you want for Christmas, oh God? Oh Santa, give me. We're going to hear a nice poem by the Vaishnavas in a few minutes now for this holy day of Christ Mass, Krishna Mass. How you pronounce it? Krishnas. It's Krishnas. It's beginning to look a lot like Krishnas. Someone sent me, it was a picture of Krishna dressed up for the holiday. I don't know if you got that. A lot of devotees were sending that, and that we have one nice poem. And people are praying, give me a nice house, give me a car. Even someone once told me a prayer taken from the beloved prayer, Jagannatha Swami Nayana Patagami, Nayana Patagami Bhavatu Me, Lord of the Universe, kindly be visible. Kindly be visible unto me. Someone told me a prayer, devotee. Somehow it rang in my head very strong. Jagannatha Swami, I need prasad and money. Don't make me wait. Not really our philosophy. But at least someone's praying, Jagannatha Swami. Jagannatha Swami, I need prasad and money. Don't make me wait. So devotees, we don't pray for daily bread, prasad and money. We don't pray, Santa, give me some new car or a toy, or I want something nice. As children, we were taught to pray to Santa Claus to Jesus or whoever, someone. Give me a nice toy. Give me chocolates. Fill my dirty stocking with so many nice pieces of boga. Devotees, we don't have. This isn't Vaishnav philosophy. We pray, Yadida Syasi me kaman varam tuam varadarshaba kamanam vidya samroham bhavatas tuvanevaram. O my Lord, we pray as Prahlad prayed. O best of the givers of benediction, if you want to give me something, big benediction, then I pray within the core of my heart there be no more material desires. What a great prayer. This is the Vaishnav. We're not praying for prasad and money. We're not praying for puris, what do they call daily bread. There's no prayer in the Vaishnav philosophy. Oh my Lord, give us our daily japatis. Japatis are coming. You don't have to even pray. Just stay in the neighborhood, you'll get a japati. You're making japatis? Walk under the ashram, you got a japati. Get a wheelchair, go to the ashram, you got japatis. But devotee is praying, my Lord, best of the givers of benediction, you want to give me, fill my stocking with something, no more material desire. This is the prayer of Prahlad. This is the prayer of the great Vaishnavs. And our business is to pray as the predecessor acharyas. We pray to the predecessor acharyas with the prayer of the predecessor of acharya. Therefore, we don't compose kirtan or bhajan. I met someone in the Mayavad community. I said, oh, you chant kirtan now. They said, oh, yes. I compose many bhajans, they told me. We don't compose bhajans. You can compose a song. But bhajans and kirtan, that is from the predecessor acharyas. So our business is to please the predecessor acharyas. We have no other business. That famous story that Prabhupada told, he was asked, should we advertise in the Reader's Digest? Gopal Krishna Maharaj was trying to make us popular, he said. Prabhupada said, we have no business being popular. We are trying to please the predecessor acharyas. He said, if you want to become popular, go naked and dance on your hands. You'll become very popular. Prabhupada said that. Dance naked on your hands. Might be very hard to do. We've never tried. I don't think bhakti dance, we never tried like that. But this is, if we want to become popular, our business is not popularity. Our business is pleasing the predecessor acharyas and praying for purity, praying for no more material desire, praying for spreading Krishna consciousness all over the planet. So without further ado, do you have